What's changing as Wichita students head back to school? I'm Suzanne Perez, and welcome to The Range.
Support for The Range comes from Fidelity Bank, Goodwill Industries of Kansas, and listeners like you.
Coming up, a food scientist explains what it takes to make things nutritious and delicious.
If everything tastes great, then a food scientist would make that larger scale, of course.
But first, about 45,000 Wichita students are back in the classroom this week for the start of a new school year. There are a number of changes happening this year, and KMUW education reporter Daniel Cottle joins me now to talk about some of those developments. Hi, Daniel.
Hi, Suzanne.
So the biggest issue here locally this semester is probably the bond referendum coming up in November. Can you break that down for us?
Yeah, so this time around, Wichita Public Schools is asking for a bond issue that would be worth up to $615 million. It's important to note that the ballot question will be split into two, with the second question only able to pass if the first one does. Listeners might remember that the district's last attempt at issuing a bond failed by a pretty slim margin in February of last year, but it's been 18 years since the district's last successful bond, and staff say there's just still a need for major repairs and renovations. The district does face a challenge in convincing a public that's perhaps a bit weary of new taxes to accept that the district wants to take on more debt, but district staff are hoping that their efforts to engage the public ahead of the vote will pay off. There's also already an independent vote yes, yes committee, that's two yeses, and they're making their pitch to voters now. Luis Rodriguez is president of that committee.
We will share the data we have. We will share the knowledge we've learned. We will share perspectives. What we won't do is engage in conversations that are party line.
It remains to be seen whether there will be a formal campaign opposing the bond, but some local Republicans have been voicing their opposition on social media.
That's right. So I understand that some of the district's plans for closing schools are actually tied up in the results of this bond vote.
Yeah, that's right. So the school board earlier this year approved a plan to close four elementary schools. Two of those, Lovature and Pleasant Valley, will close at the end of this school year regardless. But OK Elementary and Woodland Elementary will get another 2 years if the bond passes.
Okay. By now, most of our listeners probably know that Kansas has banned student cell phone use during the school day, and that's starting this fall. So remind us what the Wichita School District is doing here locally.
The law says students have to put their phones in a secure, inaccessible location until dismissal. Wichita Public Schools is encouraging students to leave their phones at home or in their cars. But when students do bring their phones to school, it seems like the district is leaving it up to each building's principal to determine the best way to store them. Lauren Hatfield is the chief of schools for the district.
If you're an elementary school and the kids hang their backpacks up on the hooks in the back of the room next to the cubbies that they don't access all day, that could be your storage location.
Some teachers and even school board members have expressed concerns that that approach could mean the policy is enforced inconsistently from building to building. But we'll just have to wait and see how that plays out.
Right, that could be interesting. So what else is happening around education this year?
Well, as you know, there is always so much to keep track of.
Right.
The state's school finance formula will expire at the end of this year. And to be honest, there hasn't been a lot of movement in Topeka in the meetings that they've had so far. More locally, Wichita school board members will be crafting their new annual budget, and they also have an open seat to fill on the board.
That is a lot to keep track of, as always. We look forward to hearing your coverage on these issues. Thanks so much, Daniel.
You bet.
There's more information on issues facing schools this year at kmuw.org. Cameron Granger is a food scientist and currently serves as a restaurant solutions advisor at Cargill. Her work helps make sure food is nutritious and tastes good. KMUW's Carla Eccles sat down with Cameron recently to learn more about the science behind food processing.
So, Cameron Granger, what does a food scientist do?
A food scientist is a product developer. So we are the ones behind the scenes creating the formulations, testing different ingredients on benchtop.
What is benchtop?
So like that's going to be like your smaller scaled work where you go into a kitchen and you make a small food product. If everything tastes great, then a food scientist would make that larger scale, of course, for commercialization. So we would then go to something like a pilot plant. And then go even higher to a big plant facility to mass produce.
And what made you interested in becoming a food scientist?
I was big in the ag program that my middle school had. It was called Future Farmers of America. And fortunately, it bled into high school as well. I stayed in the program and was really, I was just really prominent when it came to like all the animals, you know, like being around animals, showing animals at fairs. But I always really enjoyed the idea of like bridging food and animal science together. So that's where food science and meat science came into play for me.
What should we pay attention to when reading food labels?
So like, for example, the ingredient statement, whatever is first is what's most prominent in the food. So if water is that first one, that's a great thing. That means it's a lot of water in that food product. And then you can kind of read the ingredient statement from there, like in hierarchy order. So that's something to know. Also, there's a fun little trick that you can do for the nutrition statement, so where it shows your calories. Say if something has 120 calories, but then has maybe 13 grams of protein, that would be a high protein source because all you have to do is drop the zero in 120, so that's 12, and then compare it to the grams of protein. And if grams of protein is 13, then it's more than 12, for example. So that's how you know something is rich in protein.
Well, thank you for that. Cameron, if you could invent one food product, what would it be?
Maybe a superfood. I really love foods like avocados and berries that have a bunch of nutrients packed in. So some type of like dissolvable superfood that you can pop in your mouth and it gives you all of the nutrients for the day.
I love it. And also I want to know, what has been the most rewarding part of your career?
I think the most rewarding part is just being the representation that I wish I saw growing up. So as an African-American woman in STEM and in the food industry, I just want to continue to expose that this is definitely a career path that other Black children can do as well, and that it's okay to go to school for this, and it's fun, and you may be called a nerd, but it is so rewarding.
You can read more of Carla's interview with the food scientist at kmuw.org. Before we go, a few words on wonder. As part of a leadership training class recently, the person leading the session asked everyone to share a small moment of wonder we'd recently experienced. I thought immediately about the purple martin migration that's filling the skies near Wichita's airport every evening. But that's certainly not a small moment. It's enormous and spectacular. The sunrise on my morning walk seemed fitting, but cliched. And then I thought of the toys I just bought for our grandson, Owen. They're Montessori toddler toys, wondrous in their simplicity. A wooden box with slots on top for inserting colored discs. Lacing beads. A bright red apple with holes for weaving a green worm in and out. As we played, I realized 2-year-olds have mastered small moments of wonder. And astonishment does not have to be complicated. Thanks for joining us on The Range. Our producers are Beth Golay, Jonathan Huber, and Luann Stevens. Our digital producer is Hugo Fan, and Torin Anderson composed our theme music. The executive producer of The Range is Fletcher Powell. I'm Suzanne Perez, and this is KMUW, NPR for Wichita.
The fatal shooting of a teenager at a protest in Seattle has gone unsolved for 6 years.
This is open in your face. How are there no answers?
Our investigation has uncovered new evidence and witnesses who say they've never talked to police.
Did police ever call you?
Not once.
Listen to We Keep Us Safe, a new true crime series on the Embedded podcast from NPR.